Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hollywood Homicide Uncovered is part of the Dark Hollywood Collection in the Reels files on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Be sure to subscribe for new episodes each Thursday. Then, go to Reels.com, check the top of the screen, and enter your zip code to find out how you can watch more chilling cases like this when you watch TV. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com for the dark crime series and specials you'll find only on Reels Channel.
He was a musical madman who helped shape the sounds of the Beatles and the Ramones.
Phil Spector was a music producer who became a millionaire when he was very young.
She was a stunning B-movie actress, desperate for her big break.
She was like a magnet. Guys were all over her.
A late-night drink ends in an apparent suicide.
Phil Spector said she killed herself. Kill yourself in a celebrity's home and you'll live forever.
But not everyone is convinced.
There's no way she wanted to commit suicide.
Phil Spector said all women deserve a bullet in their head.
And it's up to a determined detective to sort out the truth from the drama.
At that point, you're almost doing a psychological investigation. You have to really find out who this person is. You have to dissect their life story.
How did Lana Clarkson die? The sleepy city of Alhambra, east of Los Angeles. Police get an alarming call.
All units, one shot fired, Pyrenees Castle, 1700 Grandview.
I was approximately 5 early in the morning when I monitored the radio call of a shot fired and one shot only.
Brandon Cardella, an officer with Alhambra Police Department for 4 years, speeds to the scene of the crime that will rock Hollywood by morning.
So I start rolling over to the area where it was at, which was 1700 Grandview Avenue.
The address is the estate of millionaire record producer Phil Spector.
This is a very, very large mansion.
Beth Karras, trial correspondent.
He lived in a place he called the Pyrenees Castle. It was on up a hill that had 88 steps up the front.
I was the first officer to arrive at the scene. I turned my lights off so that it wouldn't illuminate my approach.
Cardella and the officers who join him on the call know they're walking into a volatile situation.
Because we don't know what else we have in the house other than we know we have somebody shot and we know we have a shooter.
This is the only information given to police by the 911 caller. Cardella and his partners could come under fire at any minute, but they have no choice. They have to get to the house.
And we started our approach. I got the lucky job of carrying that 40-pound shield, and all my job is to be that barrier in case we take some kind of gunfire.
Cardella expects to see weapons or bodies. Instead, a bizarre sight.
I saw a male subject with long, stringy hair going back and forth by some windows. And he just appeared to be real frantic and pacing. And the door's open, and Mr. Spector was right inside the door with his hands in his pockets.
What are you doing?
I need to calm down.
Cardella is shocked
by Spectre's appearance.
He appeared to be this very short in stature, male adult with long, straggly hair with some gray in it, and had a really high-pitched voice.
You coming down?
Put your hand...
Mr. Spectre was just saying a lot of gibberish. I couldn't make in too much of it out. And he made a statement. Hey, guys, this is just crazy. You guys got to come in and see this.
You got to see this.
Sir, take your hands out of your pocket.
I immediately saw a female to the right slouched in a chair, kind of like half in, half out. And she didn't appear to be moving. We don't think she's a threat. He's a threat still. So we deal with the threat before we deal with anything else.
The officers have to rein in the incoherent Spectre.
We give him orders to keep his hands out of his pocket, raise his hands. He was not listening at all.
Up these where hands. I can see them.
There you go.
That's fine.
We don't know if he's got a gun on him or not. So my partner used his M26 taser. I didn't have much effect. So I charged him with that shield. I just hit him in the front to hopefully knock him off balance. And my partners were able to subdue Mr. Spectre.
Keep it down.
Once Mr. Spectre was subdued and detained, he was placed outside the residence.
With Spectre under control, Cardella goes in.
I immediately went over to the female, the victim, Lana Clarkson. There was an eerie music playing, like classical type music playing throughout the whole house. And I noticed she had no really signs of trauma. And I noticed a little revolver underneath her left leg by her calf. And then I noticed there was an open drawer to a little table. As I looked in there, I saw a holster that was empty. I remember looking at the stairway and I see white pieces on the ground. And those ended up being teeth. I immediately touched her wrist. I didn't feel a pulse. I went right to her carotid. I didn't feel a pulse. At that point, we treated Mr. Spectre as a suspect. When the call came out and we went there, I had no idea who he was.
It's no surprise the man detained by police has been living as a virtual recluse for decades. But in the world of entertainment, he's a giant.
Phil Spector was a music producer who became a millionaire when he was very young, in his early 20s.
Spector's contribution to music is so important that he's been named one of the 100 greatest artists of all time by Rolling Stone magazine. Considered a musical genius, Spector worked with everyone from Tina Turner to the Ramones and the Beatles.
He hit it with his wall of sound.
Spector's trademark producing technique used multiple instruments, doubling or even tripling many of the parts to create a fuller, richer sound. At the peak of his career in the 1960s, Spector is living the high life.
He was well known. He would go out. He would treat people well in terms of generosity. He was known to give huge tips. Some women say he was very much a gentleman with them.
But now, police have found a woman dead in 63-year-old Spectre's castle. It's already a high-profile case, so the L.A. County Sheriff's Department dispatches Detective Richard Tomlin to the scene. Tomlin, a veteran of the homicide department, has a knack for solving murders.
Detective Richard Tomlin, Los Angeles Sheriff's Department Homicide Bureau.
20 minutes before I was scheduled to get off of work, we get a phone call, my partner Paul Fournier and I, that we just picked up a new case. When we pull up, there's a mob of people and the media, cameras all over the place. Media helicopters circling around.
The story is out, and the press wants a sensational Hollywood scandal. Detective Tomlin knows he faces scrutiny from the media and the public as he works the case.
When we walked inside the house, there was a foyer area leading to the back door. There was a chair, and Lana Clarkson was sitting sprawled out in the chair. Her legs were stretched out. She was suffering from an apparent gunshot wound to the face. For such a violent wound, there was not much blood at all. There was no signs of a struggle. There was no signs of any type of altercation. Her purse was over her right shoulder, and there was a gun, a small revolver, by her left foot. She's wearing shoes, she's wearing nylons.
Then something unusual catches Tomlin's eye.
We also saw a back door. The deadbolt was missing. I can't tie it into what's going on in the rest of the foyer area. But again, you just keep it in the back of your mind, okay? This could be something important, could not be something important. Also at the scene, I saw glasses out and alcohol. It appeared that they had quite a few drinks.
On their own, the clues don't give Detective Tomlin much to go on, but his years of experience tell him he can't rule anything out. He also needs to find out more about the dead woman, Lana Clarkson. In the 1970s, Pam Krause is working as an actress in Hollywood when she meets the stunning blonde.
Lana was 5'11", at the age of 17, and natural blonde hair, beauty, natural beauty, very athletic. She was bubbly, and she would light up a room when she would walk into it, always. And people were, you know, she was like a magnet. And guys, especially, you know, were all over her. She was a really lovely, sweet girl.
Lana is in Hollywood to make it big, and it's not long before she finds fame.
Edward Lawsey, publicist and friend.
She was an icon in the sci-fi world in Barbarian Queen and Barbarian Queen 2, which is lots of sword fighting and horseback riding and spear throwing and archery, which she excelled.
There's a lot of very, very famous actors and actresses that came up the way that she did, where you do B movies until they turn into A movies. Lana's first part that she got a break in was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. She was in so many things. She worked on things like Starsky and Hutch and Charlie's Angels and The Love Boat. Lana was a very talented person.
When Detective Tomlin is done with the crime scene, Officer Cardella tells him Specter insists Lana's death is a suicide.
Specter had told the officers that apparently she was depressed and had came to his house and decided to kill herself.
Phil Spector says that Lana Clarkson found his gun, which was in a dresser in the foyer, and that she decided she was going to kill herself.
Spector stated that he was outside the room, and when he came back in, she had this gun, and she was pointing it to her face and talking incoherently.
No!
And she pulled a trigger. He mentioned that it was the most devastating thing he had ever seen in his life.
Phil Spector is now a suspect in the death of Lana Clarkson. Detective Tomlin must put the pieces of the puzzle together and decide if Spector is telling the truth or covering up for murder. L.A. Homicide Detective Richard Tomlin is investigating a high-profile Hollywood mystery. Music producer Phil Spector is considered one of the architects of rock and roll, having inspired heavyweights from the Rolling Stones to Bruce Springsteen. But now his influence is irrelevant, as a beautiful woman is found dead in his mansion. Spector tells police she committed suicide.
Officers from the Alhambra Police Department were dispatched to the residence behind us regarding a call of a gunshot victim.
Specter was the only person with Lana Clarkson when she died, so Detective Tomlin takes him in for questioning. The Hollywood heavyweight demands star treatment and refuses to cooperate.
He was belligerent He was dropping the F-bomb constantly. He was flexing his muscles, saying, you know, I know, you know, certain people in the police department, and how dare you do this to me, and do you know who I am? Stuff of that nature.
Tomlin refuses to let Spector's celebrity influence him, but he lets Spector go. Nothing in the evidence points to murder.
I have handled several suicides in my career, and it was very, very possible that this was a suicide.
And the man who shut himself away from the world for decades now talks to the press.
He gave a few interviews, but he was very consistent with saying that Lana Clarkson killed herself. Phil Spector basically accused her of wanting to die in sort of a blaze of glory, that she never made it as a big star, so she's going to go out in a big way, in the home of a famous person, so maybe she would die with some fame.
Kill yourself in a celebrity's home and you'll live forever.
The news of Lana's suicide hits her family, friends, and fans hard.
She had a huge following. Lana was the barbarian queen, so people would come from all over the place to get her signature at these big conventions. I just kept hoping that it was just some horrible mistake. How could it be her? Of all people, she was so sweet. How could she be dead? Everybody was devastated.
Detective Tomlin receives the results of Lana Clarkson's autopsy. Given the crime scene's evidence, the cause of death is no surprise.
Coroner report confirmed that she died from a single gunshot wound inside of her mouth.
It was an intraoral gunshot wound, and it transected her spinal cord. So she might have taken one final short breath, but she was dead almost immediately.
Toxicologists test Lana's blood and find a mixture of alcohol and Vicodin, a powerful painkiller. But the science is not enough. So Tomlin talks to the people who knew Lana.
You're almost also doing a psychological investigation. You have to try to really find out who this person is. You have to dissect their life story.
And Tomlin learns that Lana was having problems.
She hadn't worked a lot because she had broken her wrists, and she couldn't work. Her wrists were in casts. So Lana Clarkson had been taking painkillers, Vicodin in particular.
Any time that you stall your career like that, it's like starting over.
Lana is also an actress who is 40.
Age is a factor for everybody in the movie industry. It got harder and harder for Lana to get the roles that she wanted because of her age.
Okay. Yeah, well, maybe next time, right?
And Lana's friend and manager tells Tomlin it was all becoming too much for the actress.
There was a young lady by the name of Pumpkin Pie who claimed she was Lana's best friend. She said that Lana was depressed, that the Hollywood scene had worn her out.
She said, this is it, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm throwing in the towel, things to that effect. Which, you know, when you hear them, sounds like this is a woman who's ready to kill herself.
What Detective Tomlin is told by those who knew Lana backs up Spector's account of what happened at his mansion.
And so, you know, Spector said that the combination of drugs and alcohol made her do something that was erratic.
When people are depressed, alcohol will depress you. And if she's already depressed, again, plausible that she possibly killed herself.
But to Detective Tomlin, something is off.
What bothered me is that most people that kill themselves do it in privacy, in private. Lana had a website, as many actors and actresses do.
Tomlin goes through it looking for clues in Lana's words. What he finds surprises him.
There was nothing negative Things were looking up for her. She had all these different items on her website, something to the effect, this is my year.
She wasn't suicidal. She was excited. She was enthusiastic.
Yes, absolutely.
She thought that this was a new chapter in her life.
Really? They like that. Good.
You know what? This is Lana Clarkson. There's no way she wanted to commit suicide.
And there's a chilling crime scene detail Detective Tomlin can't dismiss.
Attractive blondes in the movie industry, if they want to die, they die with pills, okay? They don't ever harm their beautiful face. Never. It wouldn't happen.
My focus started shifting away from the suicide.
And yet Specter claims he watched Lana put a gun in her mouth and pull the trigger. But Detective Tomlin finds alarming new evidence that could lead him to the killer.
If you like what you're hearing, check out The Dark Side of Hollywood on Reel's channel. You'll find real stories of celebrity icons whose lives were cut short on autopsy and others whose lives were changed forever by fame. Reel's is also your go-to for real crime and chilling views into the minds of serial killers. Find Reel's on your TV at Reel's.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Then check the top of the screen and enter your zip code to find Reel's in your area.
In Los Angeles, Detective Richard Tomlin is investigating the death of beautiful B-movie starlet Lana Clarkson. Her body's been found in the home of music producer Phil Spector, famous for his work with the Righteous Brothers and the Ramones. Spector tells police he watched Lana kill herself. But Detective Tomlin has learned that Lana was not depressed.
It is very important when you're doing these investigations to keep an open mind. You don't want to be slanted either way. You have to be as objective as possible, and you have to follow the evidence, wherever it may lead, whether good or bad.
Tomlin's investigation now takes him to the House of Blues, the Hollywood hotspot owned by Ghostbusters actor Dan Aykroyd. Lana had just started working there.
I immediately went over there, interviewed the manager, her co-workers.
This job was a dream job from the House of Blues. And to take over for the maitre d', the host of the private Foundation Room Club, which is for celebrities and VIPs.
She took the job at the House of Blues to meet producers, to further her career. And so she decided to try to schmooze. It was an opportunity.
She was happy to be networking again. And when she met Phil Spector, I suspect she thought maybe this is a man, an A-lister in Hollywood, who could do something for her career. Phil Spector shows up close to closing time at House of Blues. Now Lana Clarkson doesn't know who he is.
When he walked up and requested his seat, Miss Clarkson, Lana told him, you're not allowed to go in there.
Phil Spector always wore wigs, and he was wearing one that night. Lana mistakenly thought he was a woman.
Spector.
And then she learns his name is Spector and refers to him as Miss Spector, and he goes, it's Mr. Spector.
The manager quickly whispered to Lana that, hey, Phil Spector is gold. You need to find him a seat. At that point, Lana escorted him over and now began to try to smooth out the situation.
She fawned all over him afterwards and made sure that he was taken care of in the no more than 30 minutes that Spector was at House of Blues.
Tomlin learns that Lana met Spector outside the club after her shift. He asks the manager for the surveillance footage. And while he waits for the footage, Tomlin does another walkthrough of Spector's home to make sure nothing's been overlooked.
I traversed the lower floor of the house, and in the bathroom, In the garbage can, there was a diaper.
A diaper is a soft cloth gun owners use to clean their weapons. It's the break Tomlin's been looking for.
We pulled out that diaper, and inside was blood, which was totally out of place. There was also blood in the toilet, and it appeared as if someone was trying to clean up that area. Going back to Ms. Clarkson, she had a slight smudge of blood on her face, which was out of place, considering it was a gunshot wound in her mouth. It was as if she or someone had wiped her face.
And there's a finding in the coroner's report Tomlin feels is key to understanding what happened the night Lana died.
The evidence shows that there was some sexual contact. I mean, his DNA is on one of her breasts. And there was a mixture of their DNA on a glass, which indicates they probably had kissed. And maybe she didn't want to go any further.
Tomlin wonders if Lana rejected Phil Spector's sexual advances, could he have killed her in a rage? It seems far-fetched, but Tomlin looks for evidence to tie Spector to the gun.
A lot of times, you're able to get fingerprints or DNA off of a gun, which would tell you who the killer is.
The gun had Lana Clarkson's DNA on it. Not surprising, because the gun was inside her mouth, because her front teeth were blown out of her mouth. So there was dental matter on the gun as well as DNA.
To Detective Tomlin's surprise, there are no fingerprints on the gun.
You would expect that whoever fired it, their fingerprints would be on it.
And to Tomlin, there's more evidence that something is very wrong.
There was evidence of blood smearing, and you know, it was caught inside of some of the crevices. There was clear evidence that the gun had been wiped. Lana Clarkson was right-handed. The gun was found underneath her left foot. It was in a position that made it hard to imagine how it got there if she had indeed killed herself.
Tomlin's mind also keeps going back to the mental image of Lana in that foyer. And one thing that stands out to him that screams homicide.
If Lana Clarkson was going to kill herself, why would she have her purse draped over her right shoulder?
Sitting 5 feet from the door with a purse on her shoulder indicates this woman was ready to leave. She's not killing herself with a purse on her shoulder at 5 o'clock in the morning. It just defies logic.
Tomlin's gut tells him he's on the right track, and then he gets a call. The House of Blues security footage has arrived. When Tomlin watches the footage, he sees Lana climbing into Spector's limousine at around 2:30 a.m.
Mr. Spector went out to his car and waited. Lana Clarkson came out, and then Mr. Spector invited Lana to his house.
But Tomlin notices something suspicious.
That evening that he was out and at the House of Blues, Phil Spector was wearing black pants, a black shirt, and an off-white jacket that came down almost to his knees.
Tomlin thinks back. Spector is not wearing anything white when police were called to his castle. Officer Cardella, who is first on the scene, agrees with him.
What I remember Mr. Spector wearing was all black. A black shirt, black pants.
Tomlin heads back to Spector's castle to renew the search for evidence. Now he knows what he's looking for.
I searched for that jacket. It was found upstairs in his bedroom, in his closet. At first glance, in the jacket, there are little, I'll call them speckles, that was unclear what that could be. The jacket was taken to be analyzed by the crime lab.
The more Tomlin thinks about the case, the more certain he becomes. Lana's death is not a suicide.
There was no way that she did this to herself.
For Detective Tomlin, there can only be one explanation.
There's only two people in the room. One person is dead. There can only be one answer. that Phil Spector killed Lana Clarkson.
This leaves Tomlin with a baffling question.
Why is Phil Spector killing a woman that he just met?
L.A. Detective Richard Tomlin now believes influential music producer Phil Spector, known for his work with the Beatles, killed actress Lana Clarkson. But Tomlin can't arrest Spector without two things: hard evidence and a motive.
The problem is, we did not have a definitive reason why Phil Spector would kill Lana Clarkson.
Tomlin intensifies his search for a motive.
I logged a lot of miles in this case. I went to Philadelphia to speak to someone. There was a woman from Florida. I was receiving, almost on a daily basis, tips, phone calls. I went to Chicago on this case. You try not to leave no stone unturned.
And Tomlin's determination pays off. He finds out there's more to Spector than his musical genius.
In my conversations with people who actually worked with Phil Spector and women who sang with Phil Spector, they told me that he was controlling and he would keep money that they felt they were owed. So it was very difficult to work with him. He was successful. People wanted to work with him, but it was also a very difficult and complicated relationship, particularly for women.
Tomlin also learns there's a history of mental illness in Spector's family.
You know, his sister was mentally ill. His father committed suicide when he was a boy. And I suspect Phil Spector had some of that. You know, he took psychotropic drugs and he was in therapy for many years. And so he was a reclusive man.
And although Spector is a giant in the music business, he's a small man in real life.
He's about 5'4", 120, 130 pounds, kind of picked on in high school. He used to wear chunky heels, like 2-3-inch heels underneath sort of bell-bottomed pants with long jackets that would come to his knees. The hair was always an issue with him. You know, his hair, he had all these wigs and stuff. He would compensate for his diminutive stature by kind of having this bravado about him, being a tough guy.
Tomlin also discovers Spector has another way of making up for his insecurities. Spector is obsessed with guns.
He was known to carry guns. He owned a lot of guns. And so perhaps the guns made up for the small stature.
There was weird behavior or gunplay when it came to Phil Spector.
And he does more than show them off.
I learned that Phil Spector had well over a decade of incidences of pulling guns.
He pulled out a gun on the head of the valet parking at the Beverly Hills Hotel in front of everybody waiting for their cars in broad daylight, lunchtime. And he put the gun to the head of the valet parker and said, "If you ever make me wait this long for my rolls, I'm going to blow your effing brains out." That's on the record. He got a ticket for $75.
It appeared that Phil saw a gun as another example of having power. He wanted to be the tough guy. Remember, he's a little man. He's a short man. But that gun made him 10 feet tall.
With this new information, Tomlin wonders if Spector is truly a kind and generous music genius. He digs deeper into Spector's past, and a picture emerges of a man who is angry and disturbed.
We learned through talking with people and in her own book that Phil Spector had held Ronnie Spector, his ex-wife, hostage at various times.
She was his wife, and she used to get locked in the house. He had these automatic controls in the house, and she was not allowed out.
Spector's history with his ex-wife doesn't necessarily make him a murderer, but more women share similar stories with Tomlin about visiting Spector's mansion.
They found that he is a man who would pull out a gun often to control women.
it became apparent it was always the same pattern of behavior. He referred to women in a very derogative manner.
You like all the women.
Once he drank, he became a monster.
And when the women want to leave, Spectre holds them captive.
All the stories were extremely similar. They were ready to leave, and he would say, oh, you're ready to leave? Okay. And he pulled a gun out.
The gun. Jess, let me see. Yeah, how's that? You like that?
It was about power. He needed total control. He had to control the situation.
Phil Spector said all women deserve a bullet in their head.
And even though he's still waiting for the results on the last of the forensic evidence, Tomlin sees how it all adds up.
At that stage, we had a pretty clear idea of what happened. Phil Spector, by chance, meets Lana Clarkson at the House of Blues. They strike up a conversation. They exchange pleasantries. At some point, a little flirtatious.
As Lana leaves work, she finds Spector waiting for her.
Spector invited Lana Clarkson home to his house. She didn't want to go.
She kept saying, no, I really need to go home after my shift. I'm really tired. And he said, come on, Lana, just come over to my house for half an hour, and then I'll have my guy, my driver, bring you home.
Lana makes the decision that she's going to go over his house, the Pyrenees Castle.
That was the last worst thing that she could have ever done, you know, and the last mistake that she made.
Now Lana finds herself alone with Phil Spector in his castle.
Once there, appears that they have a few drinks. They are having a good time. But at some point, something terribly went wrong.
She may have said, I said I was only coming for a drink. It's been an hour and a half, 2 hours. I really want to leave.
No, you're not.
She may have said, I'm not having sex with you. I just want to go home. And he didn't like the fact that she didn't want to have sex with him.
What do you mean?
I'm so tired.
What do you mean?
And then the familiar pattern repeats itself.
Now she's tired. She's ready to go home.
It's 5 a.m. She just worked a long shift.
And Phil Spector is not having it.
Sit down. Right there.
Like he normally routinely did, he has her sit in a specific chair, and he says, I'll be back. He had a reversible deadbolt, which he would take the deadbolt out of the door and leave and take it with him. Lana was locked in.
Probably what happened is that she's waiting for him. He may have gone upstairs.
I believe she was waiting for quite a long time, and that maybe, who knows, maybe she was sleeping when he decided to grab that gun out of that drawer. Pull it out. And now stick it in her face. And she wakes up.
Look at you.
And we'll never know why he pulls that trigger.
She was dead almost immediately.
Everything points to Specter, and Tomlin needs just one more piece of damning evidence to make the arrest. Detective Richard Tomlin is now convinced that 63-year-old music producer Phil Spector, famous for his work with John Lennon and Tina Turner, has shot and killed 40-year-old actress Lana Clarkson. But to disprove Spector's claim of suicide, Tomlin needs a strong piece of evidence.
You have to be right. You have to be 100% sure.
The blood evidence tells Tomlin he's on the right track.
When the lab results came in, The blood that was found in the bathroom was Lana Clarkson's blood. Lana Clarkson has an incapacitating wound in her mouth. She's not getting up and walking to the bathroom.
And when the results are in on the white jacket Spectre wore on the night of the murder, Tomlin knows he has his man.
A serologist at the crime lab was able to find blood spatter on that jacket. That blood was from Lana Clarkson.
So not only was Lana Clarkson's blood found on the left side of the white jacket, but her blood was in his left hand pocket, which means it was on his hands, and he put his hands in his pocket.
Phil Spector said as he was entering, Lana Clarkson was sitting in a chair across the room when she killed herself. How then did he get blood spatter on his jacket if he was so far away?
Phil Spector had to be standing basically in front of her.
Phil Spector shot her.
Seven months after Lana Clarkson's death, legendary music producer Phil Spector is charged with her murder. The entertainment world is shocked that Spector is accused of such a crime, but some Hollywood insiders believe it was a long time coming.
It seems like this was bound to happen. I mean, how many times is he going to brandish a loaded gun?
The evidence against Spector is strong, but this is no ordinary defendant.
I mean, he was famous. He worked with so many famous people, meant it's going to be a little bit harder for the prosecution to get a conviction.
I wanted her name to be vindicated.
But when the trial begins, the media circus ramps up.
We turned the monitors on in the office, and there it was on every station.
All eyes are on this investigation. All eyes are on this case.
In the world of celebrity, justice and privilege face off. And Spector plays his role spectacularly well.
There were times, even in his press conferences, that the attorneys threw up their hands and actually started scolding him in public, which means they were gone. He fired them immediately.
While Spector disposes of one lawyer after another, the prosecution lays out their evidence.
The science just didn't support Phil Spector's version of what happened. There's a good amount of evidence to show that Phil Spector was staging the scene.
But the defense sticks to their story.
They were destroying her character, trying to call her all kinds of names.
The defense painted Lana as a very frustrated, very depressed former actress who was never going to get another part in a movie, and that she knew it. She decided to go out in a big way.
But the prosecution has an ace up their sleeve. Adriano D'Souza, Spector's driver, is presented as a star witness.
One of the major keys to the case was Phil Spector's driver that evening, Adriano D'Souza. Adriano was in the car. It was in the early morning hours when he hears what he believed was a gunshot.
He heard a big pow, and a few minutes later, Spector opened the door and was standing with a gun in his hand, and he said, "I think I killed somebody."
Adriano immediately dialed 911.
The chilling 911 call is played in court.
"I heard a noise when my boss opened the door. He said, I think I killed her."
It seems like an open and shut case, but this is Hollywood, and the best stories have surprise endings.
Whenever you go to trial and you believe you have a very strong case, there's always the wild card, the jury.
Mr. Spector, any comment about what happened in court today, sir?
Not really.
The jury is deadlocked. The judge declares a mistrial.
Phil Spector went to trial in April of 2007. In September, the jury deadlocked. Two jurors wanted a little more evidence that she didn't kill herself.
Lana's friends and family are outraged.
It hit me hard because she was such a good person. And she really never, ever deserved any of that.
The second trial begins a year after the first one.
It was like a nightmare that was starting all over again.
You can't bury somebody when they keep, when their name just keeps coming up over and over and over again.
The same evidence is presented to a new jury in even greater detail. One piece of evidence is presented to prove Lana did not put the gun in her own mouth.
Testimony was given that Lana apparently had a bruise on her tongue, which would indicate that the gun was forcefully put in her mouth prior to being shot.
I can't even imagine what the moments before she died were like. Sticking a gun in and forcing her to suck on a gun? That's disgusting. And then in the blink of an eye, she was dead.
This time, the verdict is different.
And the second time, he was found guilty. There was no doubt, there was a no-brainer that this man did what he did.
Specter is found guilty of the murder of Lana Clarkson and sent to prison.
He was convicted of second-degree murder in 2009, and he was sentenced to 19 years to life. He sits in a California prison to this day.
And it was the happiest day when he finally was convicted, when that nut job was being sent away to jail forever.
He's rotting in prison where he belongs.
Lana Clarkson's friends and family remember her not as a troubled starlet past her prime, but as a vibrant woman whose life was cut short.
Somebody can make themselves look beautiful, but when you're beautiful on the outside and the inside, that's hard to come by. And Lana was that.
Tomlin's investigative skill and determination have paid off.
This case showed that despite all the power, money, and celebrity one person has, that they're not above the law.
Spector's legacy is forever tainted.
Hollywood Homicide Uncovered comes from the Dark Hollywood Collection at Reels Channel. To get more like this when you watch TV, go to Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Check the top of your screen and enter your zip code to find us on your system. You'll also find extras from the latest real crime programs that are only on Reels. Find Hollywood Homicide Uncovered and its companions on Roku and Fire TV too.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.